You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Mad Men After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Mad Men After Show.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing, and we're doing another AfterBuzz TV podcast of Mad Men Season 5, Episode 3, Mystery Date. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined on the panel by...
Kevin Undergaro.
Yes, nicely.
Phil Svitek here with you guys.
That's right, not in the booth this time. That's nice. Good to see you.
Hey, I'm with all the guys tonight. It's great. That's Catherine Tulich.
Thank you, Catherine. Yes, we're happy to have you, by the way. It's been
and
a
Catherine
while.
Catherine Tulich, I mean, she's...
Please, give us the CV.
Should I do it? I
mean, yes.
I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Catherine, every time Catherine gets invited to do a show, she's like, oh, I've met the cast. I've spoken with the showrunner. Why don't we show this right off the bat? What is this?
I know. Isn't this cool? This is, I went to the Mad Men premiere, which was pretty awesome.
Yes.
And this was the gift we got as we were leaving. Hello!
And for those of you on iTunes, it is a phone.
Woohoo!
It's a Mad Men phone.
60s version.
Yeah.
That's right. So
can I just say at the party that the actors are getting a little much too into character because they're all smoking and drinking.
Ah, right.
Like really smoking.
not to get too off subject, but in fact, in the article that we brought up last week, Newsweek, Elizabeth Moss, she was joking about how she had to go outside for the real thing to smoke cigarettes.
I know. And John Hamm was smoking. Yeah. I'm thinking they're really taking this on a little too seriously now.
Get out of it.
Yeah.
Do they use pipe tobacco?
No, they use herbal cigarettes.
And I was about to say that was all herbal cigarettes. There was no real tobacco in there at all.
Wow.
So
I guess they're getting into the whole cigarette.
Yeah, once you get in the habit, you can't get rid of it.
The whiskey and that.
That's right. So, big, dark episode today. For me, it was
dark.
Oh,
power-based, who's in control, all that kind of stuff.
It was
and
amazing.
Just to take the power away from you, John, before we fully get into the episode, a few things of business. If you guys are listening to us, if you're listening, you're on iTunes, if you're watching, you're on YouTube, please rate and comment. John and I, Kevin, and now Catherine, we all come out here, do this every week, and we will continue to do so. This is our free time, and it's free to you guys. So our free time is free to you. So all we ask for in return is that you rate and comment us. And if you've already done so, just tell a friend. It's that simple. You know, you're a fan of Mad Men. You want to share the wealth with your fellow friends.
Uh-huh.
You guys want to have the same base of knowledge to go off of. And you want to be like, hey, I agreed with John that episode, or I didn't.
Because
if they don't get that reference,
that's right.
Then you're going to seem like a fool. You don't want to seem like a fool.
So go to iTunes and rate us, comment on us, and if you're watching us on YouTube, leave a comment, and by all means, tell a friend.
All right, so we have Joan stepping out on her own, so to speak, really pulling the power punch. We got Peggy earning $400 from, back then, Lard, from Sterling. But the big story for me, the whole Don issue with his... I called it hallucination because I don't know what he was...
I love that.
I don't know what he was ailing from, if it was a flu or whatever, but certainly it had repercussions down the line. What did you... First of all, regardless of what it was, did anybody... Was anybody thinking, is he really killing this woman?
You know, for a moment, I thought they couldn't possibly be doing that. But I mean, just for a second, you're like,
for
going,
a second, I was
for
wondering.
For a second, going, come yeah. on, this
I was hoping we didn't go there.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I looked to I didn't view it with you guys, but I looked to my viewing party, and I was like, oh, this show. Like, if they went to that level, yeah. I was like, the ball rolled out of bounds. I like this show.
They already jumped the shark? Is that what, I mean, is that what it was?
It would have been.
Yeah.
Had it gone there.
You know, if it was real, it reminded me of that one scene that they've played out many times in One Tree Hill where the dog steals the heart. I don't know if you guys... Okay, nobody ever knows that reference. It was a horrible, horrible
we
thing.
We got to listen to that after.
It was a terrible, terrible thing.
But when he kind of kicked her under the bed, I sort of thought, no, it's probably not real.
Okay, now here's what I was wondering about that. Now, I know you were talking about a Cinderella, but there's the whole thing about the nurses, that the one that survived, hid under the bed.
Yeah.
The body that he supposedly chokes in Galaxandria, kicks her under the bed. They find the daughter under the
Sally's
couch.
Under the couch.
So there's this whole thing about, I was like, what the, you know, I'm not exactly sure how that fits together, but that's the thing I was noting about that. Why is that all happening?
I felt like there was so much, that's what I was telling you guys when I walked out of this, my head was about to explode because there was so much in this. It was packed with so much symbolism, so much going on. You have the story of Cinderella. You have the serial killer. You have power struggles between men and women. It seems like women, men exerting their bullish tactics that we've seen
time and time again.
More, time and time again, and definitely more in the past, but we're seeing a change in the guard where we're seeing the women kind of starting to take a little bit of the power back, which was happening at this very tumultuous time. And you're also, my big thing is colors, but if you notice the outfits, the uses of baby blues, blue is generally hope, it's heaven, it's baby, green is growth, and then there's some orange, which is usually just chaos and craziness, and then, of course, the brown, you're drinking the brown water, it seems like every time in the kitchen was the browns. When Joni pulled her, I don't know what she pulled out of the oven, if it was brownies or whatever, but there's just so much going on, and I love it, by the way. I think it's fantastic, but I feel like we have to watch this two or three times.
Exactly.
Read a bunch of blogs. One of the things we pride ourselves at AfterBuzz
is that we go up right after.
Yeah. We go up right after, and which is great. But in the, we've had this problem Breaking Bad and Walking Dead is that sometimes you like to see it a second time and review the other blogs, get the other critics' take on it, but. Yeah,
I know, because when I'm at home watching this and AMC actually repeats it twice night, I tend to watch it twice more. Mm-hmm. And it's like you need to watch these shows, and this one tonight particularly, I need to watch it like two or three more times.
The central part of it all was the pitch about Cinderella, and there was that one line, she doesn't want to leave. She wants to stay.
She wants to be caught.
Yeah, she wants to be caught.
That was the last line.
And I think, in terms of that, especially with Dawn's dream sequence, that was what it was about. She wanted to be caught.
But I thought the difference was there. She didn't want to be caught. She wanted to be caught by the wife or what? Or she wanted to be caught by who'd she want to be caught by? Because she didn't want to be caught by the wife. I thought it was a turn on that because, if anything, that story related to him in the sense that he wanted to get caught by her because otherwise he would have kicked her out and kept her out.
But I also felt like maybe we were referring a little bit to a subtext about those mass murders as well. So often,
definitely,
when things happen to women or violence happens to women, somehow it's their fault in a way. Like they wanted to be caught.
Well, and that's the way the grandmother was describing it.
Yes.
Sally.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they wore these things.
When they wear the short dresses.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
And that's an old mentality, too.
And remember how she said, my dad gave me discipline. She's idolizing the father. Mm-hmm. And then we find out the father is this horrible thing.
Horrible, abusive man that kicked her for no reason.
Just a little kick in the rear.
And why did he kick her?
For nothing.
That was the lesson.
Because
that
imagine if you did something, what I would do.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the threat. It's just unbelievable, the threat and the violence of, wow.
With Dawn's illness,
Do
you guys take the sweating and stuff? Is this a purge of idea was maybe it was a purge like what typically happens when you have a fever, you're sweating the poison out of you, the infection out of your body, and by killing the girl at the end, is it that he slayed the demon? Now that's what my knee jerk was, and then John, you had a great counter to that.
Oh well, what I was saying is that he succumbed to his past and then killed it in really close proximity. So it's did he really overcome anything? If you succumb to it and then kill, I don't know. I mean, because it just
so perhaps he's just the flu-like symptom is him suffering through this changing of the guard.
Yeah, well, that's
because we saw with Ginsburg.
Sure.
Basically, he's now. It seems like he's going to be the new Don.
And also, he's
sick. He's tired.
He's in a weird way, and for lack of a better term, he's mourning that Don that used to be. Everybody's talked about how he's changed so much. He's a nicer Don. He doesn't care about as much about work, all that kind of stuff. So, is he mourning that past that he had, where he could dominate?
But
anybody?
It was interesting that in his fantasy, he saw the female as so predatory.
That's what I mean. That's how it's different.
He wanted
to be hot.
He was always predatory. He was always the one that.
And she was pursuing him.
Yeah, and he had sort of so little power. He just basically let her.
And his defenses were down, he's sick, he's so he was kind of more in the victim role in this, so to speak, the predator and prey.
Her with the bright yellow dress, and just the red on the neck, which I thought was like a
and the red shoes,
the devil thing, and then Phil mentioned the last shot of her shoe, which is a great callback
to Cinderella.
Yeah.
The callback.
I mean, for me, one of the reasons why I actually thought that it was a real sequence was because, you know, typically you know, you have a dream sequence and then you kind of wake up from it. This was we returned there a second time, so it was like, okay, this can't be a dream. So that's what threw me off, watching it.
Well, you know, I even still at the end, I was going, okay, are they so far off this path that when Megan comes in, she's already taken care of the body and the shoes, and I was like, are they really going to go that route?
But something them being so far off path. If you notice Megan and Dawn, if you notice the very first shot, you guys of them in the elevator, they're so far away from each other.
Because
she's young, he's old.
Yeah.
The girl in the yellow dress comes right in the middle of them.
Yeah.
In fact, closer to Dawn.
Yeah.
Closer to Dawn,
she's
of
right
course.
On. Yeah.
And we see this changing of the guard, and there's a great. You know, the great quote is, you know, I'm a mistake you love making.
Yep. And that's his past.
Yeah.
Now that's the thing that I was talking about in terms of praying. He's falling prey to that past as well.
So I just want to ask you, do you think the whole thing was a dream sequence, you know, when she first came in?
To the elevator? No. You mean the first time and he gets her out?
Yeah.
I don't know. That would be very interesting. Because I found it, I was like, what? How did she know where he lived?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, so that's what I'm wondering if that whole thing is a fantasy.
As soon as I found out, I'm going to choose to believe that it never really happened at all. That whole coming to the house. That was all in his head.
Yeah, that's what I think as well.
So I don't think she ever came to the house.
Yeah.
And what do you think about Ginsburg?
I love this guy.
He's great, right?
I love this guy.
And by the way, you know, Pinstripe, Paisley, and Pink, if you notice, everything is just...
What the hell is he wearing?
So, you know, what is that all about? Is this the new version of Dawn, or is this...
Well, it's in such sharp contrast to the really tailored... You know, that kind of thing. This thing is so haphazard.
The new Don, but not in a way that you know this guy. You know, when he said, "Oh, you really know women," I felt like, has this guy even dated a woman?
Yeah, no.
Like it was really interesting that he's the new Don, but a totally different kind of new Don.
And by the way, is he in pink because maybe he doesn't like women?
We don't know
maybe
that yet.
We don't know. But I feel like, you know, we know that the late '60s.
He knows about
we
shoes.
Once,
so
yeah,
that's a clue.
That's a clue, right? True. Hey, you never know.
I'm just saying.
But once, you know, with it started with Kennedy being killed.
Right.
And, you know, now we're at 1966. We saw from the paper.
July 15th.
And, you know, it's only going to get worse because we're going to have RFK get killed. We're going to have
Martin Luther King
get killed. It was all about the old guard trying to keep the old ways. You know,
he was talking about his outfit, meaning Michael Ginsburg. Did you even notice his pants? How they were not, they didn't have the high waist, the whole thing, even they were a different color in the whole, but even the style was different.
Different.
They weren't the high waisted thing.
We're getting away from Camelot, we're getting away from the early 60s, and we're getting into
psychedelia.
Yeah.
We're moving towards that.
Anyway, you see it with Peggy, we're going to talk about Peggy later, but you see, you know, Peggy, even with wearing a tie. You know, starting to wear, and she talks about that later. Like, I want to be
Do I act like a man?
It's real.
Those role reversals.
Real interesting. Wow.
But I like that Michael. I thought that was interesting that they put him in that position where he just decides to do another pitch in front of him, and
on the way,
doesn't,
give, just
doesn't give the boss a clue
going.
Or anything like that, just does it. I was like, as soon as he starts selling, go, the guy already said yes, don't resell it. I mean, that's when you walk out of the room. And I thought, you know.
But isn't that the young? Aren't we seeing throughout this episode, we see Sally and Grandma, Sally challenging Grandma, and Grandma trying to hold the fort down, and Mom and Joan, and Peggy and Roger.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing, and Campbell and Roger, like, we're seeing so much challenging the young, challenging the old.
Yeah, not very little respect for that sort of, you know,
Sally,
that idea of, because the generation before would have been all about sort of respect for your elders.
Oh, and even worse,
this generation,
how old are you?
Yeah.
I'd have had a shoe across my head if I had done that.
Well, my parents were before this generation.
Yeah.
They were the last before the 50s, and so I know that their younger siblings were the 60s, and they were just horrified at the difference.
Yeah.
They were only 6-7 years apart, but that difference in attitude was so different.
Yeah.
So huge.
Yeah, clearly was.
Huge.
But did you? I loved his pitch, though. Wasn't it a good pitch? Michael Ginsburg's.
He was great. By the way, both pitches were amazing.
I thought they were, really. I thought they were good. What you can say, and?
And I was like, I don't know, I know our fans hate when we do this, but it reminds me of our pitch at Akamai, Phil, for AfterBuzz. And so Phil and I are there, and I'm Don Draper, and Phil is Ginsburg. And the CEO at the end of the meeting goes, Phil. He goes and shakes Phil's hand. So are you there, John?
Yeah.
And he was all, you know, it's just interesting. But
I was Roger. No, I'm Robert Morse. I'm wearing the old kind of background.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're a crane.
Well, I love the reason why it really worked for me, and I like it. One of the reasons why I love Mad Men for that business side of things is because, you know, he kept saying, "Oh, you probably won't like it. Yeah, it's a little bit too dark," as opposed to forcing it on them.
Yeah,
that's what.
Well,
makes
every
hurt.
Time you pull it away, people want. What? Wait a minute.
Yeah, wait
you all just pull it away, so they're coming towards you.
Yeah.
So that was very, and I thought the guy's got chops. He knows what he's doing. This is good. Even though he looks like a bumbling fool. I think that's all an act.
But the bigger thing was he also. You know, when they're all having the beer after, and he still didn't get what he did, and the guy had to tell him, you know, you almost got fired.
Yeah. No, I don't see it that way.
No. oblivious.
But is he that delusional, or is he just choosing not to believe it? No, I'm going to believe what I want to believe. Or what do you think? Does he really not get how close he was to getting fired, or does he not care?
I think he's got the Zuckerberg thing.
But he also says...
Or he's a little
what's that sort of condition? Where
what's
like
Asperger's.
Asperger's.
What does he say about Don? Wow, that guy's really... What was the word he used to describe Don?
It was like...
He had this one complimentary thing to say about him. He's really, I don't know what the hell it was, integrous. I can't remember what it was, but he said it and the other guy looks at him like, are you kidding?
Yes.
Yeah, you just, were we sitting in the same meeting?
Exactly. But I mean, he has these blinders on about who Don is.
You know, and again, the fact that he's also, it's interesting that he's Jewish, and again, the changing of the guard.
Right.
That, you know, we're seeing that, you know, we can have one. All the other companies have a Jew.
A Jew, so we have to have ours. They have the Jew, they now have their African-American, so...
Can we talk about Sally and Grandma?
Let's do it. Yeah, let's move on, Sally and Grandma.
I just, you know... You know, your mom has no rules, mom has other rules, and it's just going back and forth, but, you know...
Well, you know, the first thing that was interesting to me was when she has the conversation with... Don, her dad, and instead of, you know, like reading a riot act or like saying, hey, no, you got to mind him or whatever, he says, yeah, well, you know, you got to learn deal with that in that haunted man. She goes back to the he just goes along with her demeaning of the people in the place where she is instead of saying, hey, you know, shape up. He's allowing it.
Right. Well, I mean, he's got no love for that household at the moment. I mean,
it's her grandmother or step-grandmother, whatever. So you can't, you know, but he doesn't really hold the line or anything either. So he kind of allows her full rein to talk back, sass, whatever.
You know,
but that usually happens too when a parent is kind of the parent that's not living with them tends to sort of be the one that likes to, one that gives the favors and
clear,
you're fine.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Clearly.
But she's very precocious. I mean, I'm on vacation.
I'm on vacation.
I get to watch as much TV as I like.
I'm on vacation.
And by the way, is that from the divorce from Betty's parenting style?
Well,
Sally's always been like that.
I also think that when, you know, once you get divorced, it's like you get to do a lot of extra things because the parents are so you know, pissed off. Not pissed off, they're upset that they've ruined your life, that they give you room to do all kinds of craziness.
Right.
And
we know that the narcissism between both the parents.
Yeah. So clearly they're not really.
So we buy it. This kid's a great actress.
You know, here's another thing is when she said it made me barf or whatever, I went, whoa, that. 66? Really? I don't remember.
I kind of thought that myself. What? Was that a term, barf?
I hadn't heard that until 70s. But, you know, again, they do their homework very.
Yeah, well, Matthew's been picked up a couple of times when he doesn't. So
but that was like, whoa, that one just stuck out at me. It's like, even if they had been, that did not ring true for me, but. I'm sure that they did their research on that. So somebody else looked that up. I don't know. That was the one that
and
stuck
it out was there. Interesting, too, that when Grandma was talking to Sally about the murderer, you know, we touched upon the sexuality and whatnot, but she said, it's a man who hates his mother.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. So there's so much of that going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God. Everybody hates their mother in this thing.
Yeah.
Not just the men.
Right.
I mean, John doesn't seem to have a lot of love for Mom either.
No. Her Greg and his mother, you know, they're battling. And,
Wow.
There was a lot about the mothers tonight, wasn't there?
Yeah.
You know, Peggy had problems with her mother
in the past.
Peggy's had problems with her mother in the past. And so it's just interesting, you know.
Yeah, the other thing was I was thinking, this is a tangential association, but, you know, we did the whole Cinderella thing and how that kind of lays through that the whole episode. But also, in every fairy tale there is, the evil stepmom and all that other stuff.
I'm sure if we watch this another two times and could go through the log, we'd probably figure out a lot more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I walked out of this. I was like, oh my God, great episode. A lot of stuff happening.
I thought it was great with the was still going back to the Sally thing. You know, she's so interested. You know, she's just precocious. Grandma says until you got to learn respect, you got to learn how to act like an adult. And here she is trying to be because
is acting like an adult.
Exactly. That's my point. It's like,
that was
the wonderful irony about that. And then Grandma takes the paper away. You don't look at it. And she lifts it up, and there on the big old front, the front page is about the horrible, the horrible murder going on. And then I thought it was just classic, like child wanting to know more, and then stealing the paper and reading it, and then freaking out, and then seeking solace with the very person who you were pissed off at and afraid of.
Yeah, I know. And what about the way she resolves it? She gives her a drug.
Yeah, just a second off. Oh my God. And her burglar. What was it? What she called her burglar alarm or whatever?
I know. She picks up the psycho knife, you know?
And gives her second off. And then that's it. You know, like, again, mother's little helper. Anything, just to get you through the day.
And that's 60s. Mother's little helper.
Oh,
you 60s. Think about it, you know?
Yeah.
I was just gonna say. I mean, she literally pulled out that from behind her. There's no sheath or anything.
No, like, nothing, man. It's just there.
Oh
my God! And that just reminded me. That's Dad. You know. That's Dad kicking her in the ass. This is how what results in just. Let's have a butcher knife right here. Give the kid second all. Hey, we're good.
Exactly.
Everybody good? Okay. And the kid ends up under the couch, just like that girl under the bed.
Yeah.
And that's how she's saving her. So, which is weird. Another thing, it's weird because we're all the boogeyman. Under the bed.
Yeah.
And this is where they end up.
Wow.
So, I don't know. I was just making all those connections as it's happening. I'm going,
a lot going on there. I mean, a heck of a... I know Matthew Weiner wrote half of this. He was co-writer on it. Yeah. But it's incredible.
And directed by Matt Shankman? I can't remember. I didn't write it down this time. Yeah. Anything about the sound? I thought the grandma was great, though.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's fantastic. And
every time we see her, she's eating bugles. She eats something else.
Yeah.
Every time we see her. And it's Peggy. I'm sorry, Betty that's having the weight problem.
Betty came in and looked a little thinner.
She did. Absolutely.
Well, she was kind of mostly covered, though.
Yeah, but she didn't have the big
jowls.
Yeah, big thing that she had last week. So, but that was,
I know. Yeah, we only saw her really briefly tonight. Yeah. Wasn't much at all.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Peggy and Roger and the whole
Dawn
at the end.
Dawn,
Dawn. So here again we see Roger having to pay.
Well, Roger is really losing
it.
He's totally losing it.
Desperate.
Isn't he?
Every episode he seems to get more and more desperate.
Yeah.
I think something really bad is going to happen. I'll save that for predictions. But it seems like they're building up to this guy's losing it like crazy.
Yeah, and she calls him out on it. He's like, who else are you going to go with?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, everyone else around him is realizing that he's losing it and that he hasn't got much power. Like, you know, Peter and,
Peter telling him, the day-to-day, the Mohawk's coming
he's
in.
He's kind of becoming the joke of the office, isn't
exactly.
he?
Exactly.
You know?
He's the buffoon.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you catch him, he's just sitting in his office, you know.
Not doing anything.
Weird ergonomic lounge chair, whatever he's in, not doing any work whatsoever, and then scrambling like crazy, and have to buy people's allegiance or help, and I'm going, wow.
That's all he has. And
think
of
all he's got
and that's
left.
A half a month's salary. That's, you know, because that's what he paid off Crane with $1,000, so if you look at it like that, that's almost a half a salary.
And think of, you know, and think of the growth of Peggy.
Yeah, to be able to stand in that and the presence of mind, stand up to him and negotiate and do an incredible job at negotiating.
Yep. You know, and that's where we're seeing the, you know, the women get rights.
Again, the power play. And it was even better for me because at the end when he, you know, he finally gives the $400 and he says, it better be great.
Yeah.
She goes, you want me to take your watch? So even she doesn't even back down then when she gets the money.
Nope.
It's like, whoa. Whoa! I mean, his power is just—he's like way down here on the totem pole.
You know, and he's so desperately trying. I could fire you, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And they're,
boss.
And they're not
she's looking at him like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Taking a step.
How does that happen?
Taking a step back. Do you think? How do you think John Slattery feels about this? Do you think he's enjoying this, or do you feel like that his role is actually being reduced, and is that bumming him out? Because
it depends where it's going to go.
Yeah, that's what I say. Yeah. Usually, and I don't know how often. I've been told, I haven't been in the meetings, but I've been told usually on an actor, they tell you where the arc's going. So if you know that, you're happy to play it because, first of all, he's played this way so long, he wants to play something different. He wants to, I would imagine, if
but
you're an actor, you want to play that, especially if you're headed for something.
He's a masculine, that's fine, but it seems minimal. Because we've so, like it seems about Don and so many
right.
things. Like I wouldn't call him best supporting actor as of what I've seen.
Well, we don't know what's
going
to happen. I know this is predictions, but I don't know what we don't know what's going to happen with Joan and him because we know that the baby is actually his. Whether he ever now the husband's gone.
But that's why I think they're heading for something. With
that's what I think
too. I don't think you want to put him on the sideline.
I
too good of an actor either. Yeah. So you know, I think they just have their storylines.
But Pete Campbell's not what Slattery. Yeah. Slattery is almost like what Brian is in Breaking Bad. He's like
that's what I think.
This
I think
guy
what
is,
they keep,
him,
gonna
and
keep
Ron,
doing,
him and John Hamm are just
they're going to keep
huge
grinding
drives.
Him down, and then have him break, and then there's something really to play there. Beaten, broken down, disillusioned guy.
I know.
And how does he build himself? That's something to play.
What do you guys think about Dawn, the secretary?
Oh, I thought. Well, first of all, I thought she played it great. So under, which was terrific, and you know, just the awkwardness of the whole thing, and I think that they got that right. I thought she did a great job of playing under and awkward and uncomfortable, and I thought Peggy did. I'm sorry. Well, there it is. We're in the scene right now, watching it in the booth here. But I mean, all building up to one visual. I mean, that one visual tells the whole story. All the other stuff about being friends and, you know, learning about her, you know, her family and this and that and, you know, please don't tell Dawn I slept in here and it all comes down to looking at the purse.
Yeah, but
and all that, basically everything that happened beforehand goes out the window.
Right. You mean all that stuff with Peggy?
All that
kind of
stuff, exactly.
Her,
all that friendship building, all that camaraderie, it goes out the... All that stuff about her saying, I used to be like you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was
they're relating, they're finding common ground.
Yeah.
And then she looks at the purse, paranoid, geez.
There's $400 in there.
And I don't want to leave it.
And I don't want to leave it. And so, really, we're alike, are we? Oh, we are, huh?
Right.
And they're not. Because the fact that she looked at it and felt that, she didn't have to do anything. Just that she had the look and then went... Oh, okay. We're not alike at all.
And how great was it that, you know, Dawn left the note on
the
purse?
On the purse.
On the purse.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, I know it.
And even that, even after that, she read the note and everything like that, and you know she wanted to look in it
to
double check.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she didn't because...
I'm sure she did, but, you know, at some point.
Yeah, exactly, at some point. I thought the part was, I'll just move these. And she moves the clink, clink, the bottle, clink, 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 clink. That just filled that awkwardness even more.
Yep.
I mean, if they were walking on the street, she'd be, you know, how everybody walks on the other side of the street. And I say, or they clutch their purse to them. And say,
how funny is it when Dawn goes, y'all drink a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, it's interesting because somebody has made the point, I can't remember, that we hadn't seen Don drink in the first two episodes.
Yeah, he's drinking less.
Yeah,
he was certainly less, not this episode.
Yeah. And smoking less, except this episode.
And she said, "Don't, yes.
don't smoke."
And Megan said, don't,
"Yeah,
don't
coughing."
Exactly.
It was funny,
and I think that's all part of him trying to be the different, be a different Don.
Did you notice, like, you know, the last shot of Megan, and you know, I hate to jump back, but the last outfit Megan was wearing was the yellow, had the yellow, the blue, and the red, all the same colors.
Yeah.
That we had been seeing the whole episode, and especially the yellow and the red.
That was
Megan.
Clearly,
I mean, excuse me, Andrea.
Andrea.
Anyhow, but Joan.
Oh wow, Joan! Wow.
Well, this is a big Joan story tonight.
Yeah, and I thought it was great. I was saying earlier that at the beginning of the episode, she's so excited that the husband's gonna, I forgot his name at the moment. What's his name?
Greg.
Thank you. Greg's coming back, and by the end of it. Boom. Doesn't care. You're out.
Well, I knew, for me, I knew
right away.
That's
a big arc.
Well, as soon as she said, you know, you can go.
Yeah.
I was, you know, had they, I always expected that they would go that route, like get out.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it so soon
right. In
this episode.
I know, that's what was amazing.
And then she was referring, because
I know
you said you hadn't seen the earlier, but you know what she was referring to when she said you were a bad man.
No, I don't know anything
about
that.
Well, he raped her.
That's,
whoa.
Yes.
Another incident of violence.
He raped her in,
of, what?
In, yes. In the office.
Yes.
In her old office. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was like, you know, you're not a good man.
I mean, it's amazing she shouldn't have stuck with him this long. Really.
And, you know,
oh,
if you want to,
you didn't know that.
No,
that's what
really
she's referring
it,
to.
If you want to take it to a whole level and refer it back to Don,
sure.
You know, Andrea uses the word love making, whatever, and that rape scene was disguised as love, but it was rape.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that's season two.
It was a power play. He basically was like, I'm going to show you who the boss is. I know you're at this office, and you probably flirt with all these guys, and you have all this power, and basically, which rape we know is about power.
It's interesting that you say, I'm going to show you who's boss, because in this episode he says, I got my orders, you got yours.
Yeah. Right,
so
right.
So he's still trying to run that number on
and
her.
I'm so proud of her, and again, so progressive to say, you know what, I got this, go.
Yeah.
Get out, and you're not a good man, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And you know what, I knew they were headed for trouble, and I'm always preaching to look for the symbolism and the subtext of the writing, is when she said, geez, we have steak. He's like, I had plenty of steak in Vietnam. God knows what that means. But he said, I want bologna. Right? Because he's full of shit.
Yeah.
And then he goes, and tonight, I want veal, which is baby, you know. And so I knew, I'm like, oh, wait a second. This is not going to, something weird. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I certainly, I thought he was going to go and die in Vietnam. I thought they were going to play that the whole time.
Play that, right?
That he was just going to get killed in Vietnam.
Sure.
I thought they were going to do that last year. I'm glad, once again, I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad they avoided the cliche.
Right, this is much more interesting.
Much more interesting.
Because then it really sets her, now talk about her really owning her power.
But
she's on her, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, just another thing too about sort of the identity as a man, and I mean the way she sort of says, you know, that this, the army's giving him an identity that, you know, she said something about, you know, that makes you feel like a man.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that had a lot to do with too, because the fact that he has used these symbols to be what he thinks is a man,
right.
But he's not a man at all, which is basically, you know, he's not a good man.
Right.
But he's trying to make him seem like what he thinks is manly things to do, you know, power of your wife, and basically, you know, I'm a army guy, I'm
and
working
I'm leading
for
men,
yeah.
And
and obviously the mother takes her role.
Right.
And all of this, and every time, you know, even the second time, like, we need some more food. Okay, got it.
Yes.
On it.
Frank, you should go get us some more beer. I'll be gone for a little bit. It's like, wow. All that tacit agreement about everything. It's like, whoa.
Well, just the old guard.
Yeah.
You know, the old guard. The women just be obedient, and the guys are the boss.
They need their time.
And just on another tangent, though, I mean, when he saw the baby, he didn't sort of go, hey, it doesn't really look like me.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Obviously, he didn't even, and
he had about...
Didn't he do the math? I mean,
I don't know.
Thing,
he's
you know?
He's a
I mean,
doctor, isn't he?
Did he do the math that it wasn't his kid?
No, you know why?
Because
it speaks to what the mom had said, which is he's not going to care about the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the mom understood,
but
what the mom didn't understand was that you don't have to fall in line with that. But the mom was like, he's not going to care about the kid. He's going to want to just have sex with you. You need to have sex with him.
Yeah.
And you need to play along. And so that's why. So he's like, look at the kid, great. And then the kid was out, and it was all about sex. And even at the end, he walked out like, if I leave, it was not like I'm not going to be separated from my son.
No, that's right. He didn't even care.
Nope.
He had that interest.
Exactly, and he does believe it's his son, so it's interesting that he didn't. Yeah, he just
But he'll come back at some point, because at some point he's going to go, no, that is my kid, and then he's going to cause trouble for later.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Or we just get gunned down.
Nah, I mean, but that doesn't. How does that help the storylines? It doesn't.
Well, there's enough. I think there's enough, and maybe we'll talk about predictions. But I think there's enough in getting Joan back to work.
Yes, I think it's all about Joan going back to work.
But so. I just think it would complicate matters if he tried to mess with the kid, and you know, because they all did that. They all say, you know, I don't need that. And then they wait. That's my child. At some point they come back thinking that they're going to be dad now.
I don't know. I tended to feel like they were finishing the chapter.
I think he's done.
I think his contract's been ripped up.
Because there's enough of her to go back, just to go back to work. And you know, and for me, I think this was.
And we want to see Joan back.
We want to see her back.
Yeah, this is all about getting her back to work.
I don't want her in the suburbs. I want to see Joan back in the office.
You mean like the scenes with mom?
And you know, she looked great in the Anna Magnani black. If everyone knows that reference.
No, she was always the most progressive. It totally makes sense that she would arc to the point of standing up to this guy.
Yeah, I just was shocked that it did in one episode.
Yeah, I'm glad, though. Yeah.
I think it was a convenient way to get the story done and finished, because it was all about...
Convenient, timely.
Yeah,
it'll get her back to work that much faster.
It gets her back, and also symbolically it fits with everything that was going on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Commercial?
Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Roger, if you would, please take us to our break. I'm exhausted.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you. A lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire, to American Idol, to Vampire Diaries, to Real Housewives, and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid co-workers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows, and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
And we're back.
Yes, we are. So, no news and gossip this week, huh?
No.
So for, premiere, we got a lot of news and gossip. Second week, we kind of got a lot of news and gossip. Third week, who cares?
No, actually, there wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of it was fashion related.
Yeah.
Zoo was number one on iTunes, but I don't know if that was last week as well.
So, they've done their news and gossip. They're ready to get on with other things now.
But we actually didn't bring that up. That's actually kind of...
What's that?
That was the number one song.
Or whatever the hell.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that just goes to show the power of Mad Men. Think about, you're competing against, Nicki Minaj and, God knows what other...
Sorry, man.
It's incredible. And the fact that, now it's in Banana Republic, and it's affected fashion, which is crazy. And when you go by the actual numbers, you guys, this isn't American Idol getting 30 million
views. Exactly. It's getting two and a half to three.
And so to have this much power...
In terms of AMC numbers, Walking Dead is way higher.
Yeah, exactly. But this is still iconic.
But I think this was their best season premiere, though, wasn't it?
This was
the biggest numbers they had.
Exactly.
Well, they made us wait long enough.
Exactly.
All right. So that's all our news and gossip. Let's move into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
We already said a few. We talked about you guys think that Greg's done.
I think he's done.
You think he's done. I think they'll bring him back, not now, not maybe not even the season, but I think they'll bring him back.
You think he'll cause a bit of trouble?
I think here's
why I agree with John, is because as much as it is about Joan coming back to work, it's also Roger's in that pot.
Yeah.
And I think
she's still going to have to, well, with her work, she's still going to have to do with work and family, and that just adds more grist for that mill.
There's definitely the aspect if I want my kid back, just to make trouble. I still wonder if it's not the only time you're going to see him back is in the form of a triangle folded flag.
Sure.
Where he's just dead.
That would be convenient as well.
But again, yeah, they've avoided all the cliches up to now, so
yeah.
Maybe they will. It does appear though Joan is back to work. I know the
prediction, the trailer,
the trails for next week are always kind of cryptic. But we see she's wearing red and she's back.
Yeah.
So she's taking the meeting.
Good and running the meeting.
Which, by the way, Mina, it's not in this episode. There was that secretary coming in, and she was like, "I'm supposed to introduce you," meaning she sucks at her job.
Yeah,
so terrible, that secretary.
She's
the one that didn't recognize Joan.
Yeah, and I remember we talked about that. I was the guy going, "Why did they hire her?" And they hired her because Joan wasn't running it.
Yeah.
So that's who they ended up with. But all right, so what other predictions? What do we think about how's Don's
I feel like Don, this sort of nice Don, and this Don that's basically, seems to be changing. I have a feeling that's all going to blow up at some point.
Well, I mean, we saw that his past coming back to haunt him.
He's going
to
stay on that path.
Yeah.
I really, as much as you think that he killed his demon.
No, I was questioning if he had. I agree with you, though. Yeah. I think that, it's someone, especially at 40 years old, very hard to change. A womanizer, a drunk, it's very hard to change. And then we know he's got serious demons from his past.
And we saw that those demons aren't coming to haunt him. So they're right there under the surface.
And we see a divisiveness growing between him and Megan.
Yeah.
Well, there's this huge gap, not just generational, but there's just a huge gap between them that I think is just going to get wider and wider. Yeah. At the moment, he's sort of... he's accepting it because obviously, the fact that he's got this beautiful young wife and that, but I just think that's all going to crack. It's crack.
And this show is so well written that don't think for a second they haven't taken into consideration what being 40 in 1966 means.
Because that was really old.
It means
that
60 now.
Really, really old.
Really old.
Back then. He's an old man. It's not 40 today.
Yeah.
He's a dirty old man.
He's a dirty old man.
Yeah.
But he's even I'm sure for Madison Avenue, as progressive as it was, it's old then. And I'm sure Weiner and the writers know that. And that's why we see, Campbell and all them kind of, taking him down and forget it.
There's blood in the water, man.
He's an elderly, for crying out loud.
And I think that's what's happening with Roger. Blood in the water, and they're seeing it, and they're sharks. Just taking
good stuff.
Over.
Needless to say, we're excited for next week.
Yes, we are.
Needless to say, we'll probably be wrong about all our predictions. But in a good way.
But why not? That's okay.
Wrong in a good way.
All right. Well, anything else before we wrap up?
Dancing with the Stars, ABC show. Guess who's on it, John?
I'm thinking... I don't know. I blanked. Who?
Small woman.
Yes, small.
Sherry Shepherd.
Yes.
Maria Menounos.
Maria? Oh, that's right. She's dancing with Derek Huff, right? Team Manuff.
I feel like he's the
team
star in this equation.
Yes.
Because he's won 3 mirror balls.
That's right. Maria hasn't won any.
So let's get a fourth.
That's right.
Let's get a fourth.
And why should we do that? Please tell our audience why.
Well, business-wise.
I love this part.
The longer Maria is distracted, the more money we can spend behind her back on AfterBuzz.
So there you have it.
Catherine, how do we find you?
How do you find me?
Yes, that's our audience.
You're an LA Times writer. You must have a fan base. You don't have a Twitter follower?
I don't. No, I will
look
get onto Twitter.
Look at you.
Old
school Catherine.
Nice. Right on.
Back in the 60s. No, I'll update, I'm sure. No, I will promise
you
start
Well, you can read Catherine.
You can find me here.
Times.
And by the way, love having you here. Thank you. We can have you here every week. It's
every
terrific.
Week.
We love your insight and your voice is great on this.
You make us smile.
Thank you so much.
Wicked smart.
So, what about you, Phil?
You can find us on other AfterBuzz TV shows. Catherine and I do Revenge.
Nice.
Yes.
Do you really? All right.
Yeah,
okay.
We
well,
together.
Check that out.
Yes. Which we'll be back soon.
April 18th.
Woohoo!
We'll
can't wait.
Where can I find you?
I know there's a few shows we can find you here. Maybe not of the Mad Men.
Pauly D Project. All right. We better go.
All right.
Bye, guys.
All right. Everybody, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. AfterBuzz TV.